Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about something a little bit frightening, but I promise you shouldn't be afraid. Today's episode is called, Could Forgiven Debt Get Reinstated? Now, this is something that's kind of an interesting and a little bit controversial topic. So I want to talk about something that recently happened in Congress a little bit more, where some Congress people introduced a resolution, a joint resolution from the Congressional Review Act, that actually, if it was passed as is, would result in almost all of the debt from the PSLF waiver getting reinstated to people's accounts. So I want to talk about how that's even possible, if you should worry about forgiveness really being real, if that's going to actually, you know, impact you or not. So we'll talk about that. And I just want to talk about a little bit of just the political implications of student loan stuff more generally. Also, we're going to talk maybe a little bit about what's going on with the IDR waiver. Kind of some pretty scary stuff happened recently where there was an unintended change on the form that freaked people out briefly before they corrected it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and maybe a couple other things. Before I dig into the meat of today's episode, I wanted to call out that our insurance agency, SLP Insurance, is now about a year old. So that's pretty exciting. Basically, I started it because I realized a lot of people were getting oversold disability insurance that didn't need as much coverage because they had, you know, income-driven repayments. And if you become disabled, then, you know, your payments drop, and so you need less coverage. Alternatively, we also noticed people that were getting underinsured that were trying to pay off their loans and that needed to get additional coverage to cover their student loan payments too. So I just thought, okay, well, let's just see if we can start our own insurance agency. And so we did. And because of the volume that we've done in the past year, we now have discounts up to 30% with all the big five carriers for own occupation disability insurance. So whether you just want to get a review of your existing policy or you want to get a new policy and take advantage of temporary discounts such as residency and fellowship discounts that are available, you go ahead and book a time with one of our experts or really just fill out the form. If you go to studentloanplanner.com/DIS, D-I-S. So studentloanplanner.com/DIS, it'll take you to the page to fill out the quote form, and then you will get contacted by one of our agents. And if you'd like to, you can also book a time with them for free to discuss your policy options. SLP Insurance, if you need own occupation disability insurance, now typically tends to be the busiest time of the year from now until September to get a policy in place because a lot of people qualify for these temporary time-limited discounts, which we can offer. And one more comment about that. If we can't get you the best deal on disability insurance, we will point you to the place that will, because we do a lot of volume. We are not praying for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat over here. We've got plenty of revenue from other business lines, and we do a lot of volume. So our goal is just to find you the best policy. Maybe it's, you know, you having some health conditions that we need to point you to a place that might have better coverage for that, or, you know, there's a special discount through your hospital that we can't offer directly, so we point you to that option. So really, I would almost be almost 100% sure that we'll find you the best policy and disability insurance if you need it, studentloanplanner.com/DIS. So now let's dig into the main topic of today's show. We'll talk about this, could forgiven debt get reinstated? I want to start off by a sort of warning, I don't want to call it a warning, like judgment or something from a federal judge. There was a case from Wisconsin taxpayers that basically alleged that President Biden's student debt cancellation was racially motivated and therefore under the Equal Protection Clause, it could not be implemented. The federal judge that this went in front of was like, this is ridiculous. There's no standing. This taxpayer group doesn't have the standing to bring this lawsuit. But in shutting down this challenge to President Biden's cancellation, that same federal judge also said, but if this current administration has the power to cancel debt and void debt, that means a new administration could choose to unvoid it and collect on that debt. So that was a little bit alarming, a little bit of a warning shot too, I think, from the perspective of using legal sort of strategies of, oh, well, no one's harmed by this, therefore no one has standing, therefore we can do it, even though maybe we don't know if it's legal. The judge was sort of trying to send a kind of a warning shot against the Biden administration about that line of reasoning. Nothing happened as a result of it for several weeks or months even. And then this Congressional Review Act resolution got put forward by Republicans in the Senate and the House. And so let's talk about this resolution a little more. So basically what it said is that it would end all of the orders from President Biden on cancellation and the waiver programs. And so when you end those waiver programs, most likely what would occur is after a certain date, you know, any debt that was forgiven after a certain date could be liable to be reinstated. So specifically, I think they targeted like December of 2022. So debt that was forgiven after that date would get potentially reinstated. So is this realistic? Could this actually happen? Let's talk about just how representatives and senators vote and why they vote the way they do, right? Everybody wants to vote on certain things in ways that will be good for them politically or, you know, from a campaign perspective or even just from a messaging perspective or because people want to use it to fundraise, right? There's a whole bunch of reasons why representatives and senators vote for stuff, and it's not just because they think it's good policy. How do we know this? Because if you think about what happens in terms of each party has whips that determine, you know, what the vote counts are for different bills and you know, they talk to the administration of that party to figure out, you know, how that team wants them to vote, right? So there's a very coordinated effort behind every bill that comes forward. And in this case, what I think you see is that like certain bills are sort of designed to die. And so I think this congressional resolution is a bill that's designed to die. Why is that? Because do you think that the congressional Republicans would actually want to reinstate all of this debt and all these public servants that have had it forgiven? No, I don't think so. Basically, it's a posturing mechanism, right? It's a way to put out a, you know, sort of a campaign style statement that we are opposed to President Biden's rulemaking. And so that's something I wouldn't be concerned about. Let's say that there was a Republican president, for example. Would this same group pass this continuing or pass this congressional resolution to stop the cancellation of the waiver programs and potentially reverse some of it? Well, first of all, if there was a Republican president, these waiver programs like IDR waiver, PSLF waiver never would have happened. But let's say that, you know, you had a Republican president win in 2024 and they were going to pass something like this to reinstate a bunch of debt. Would they want to do that? Well, a lot of times I think what happens with politicians is they say they want to do something and then they don't really realize what they're doing. And then when they find out, when the press kind of figures out the implications of something, the press talks about it and then constituents freak out and then politicians reverse themselves, right? So I very much think that something like that would happen. So if there was a period of time where, you know, this congressional resolution passed and the reality of 500,000 public service borrowers getting their debt reinstated became something people realized, what do you think would happen? Do you think people would be angry? Absolutely, right? I mean, we would, in our newsletter, we would probably be like, here's how to contact your representative and your senator, right? So this would literally evoke tens of thousands of responses and angry phone calls to people's constituent offices, you know, calling on this provision to be stripped from this bill. So I really don't think there would be much of an issue with this. Like, even if something like this were to pass with a Republican president, the key parts of it would get stripped away. What do I think that? Consider what happened with capping PSLF with a Democratic president. A lot of people don't remember this, but in, like, I think it was fiscal 2015 budget, President Obama's team proposed to cap PSLF at more, no more than $57,500. And Democratic congressional representatives freaked out, said, heck no, strip this out of the bill, right? A lot of people, borrowers, got really terrified, right? And that is what the result was. That proposal was sort of pulled back. You know, if you think about getting debt reinstated, there'd be floods of phone calls from highly educated voters. I think that you just don't you can't really worry about this kind of stuff, right? Like, is this a serious risk? I mean, first of all, there's no such thing as no risk. Well, so let's get that out there, right? There's no such thing as no risk with this stuff. Like, could a future Congress raise my income taxes to 90%? And could I basically have no income for myself from what I earn? Yeah, that's possible. Is it possible to have, like, you know, a 60 or 70% tax rate? You know, sure, it's possible. Something like that might even one day pass, but would it actually get through finally to the finish line? No, probably not. Why? Because you've got a lot of checks and balances in our system, right? So for one reason, if this congressional resolution passed, let's say it passed somehow, where you're going to have all this debt reinstated on borrower accounts, well, Biden's got a veto until January 2025. And even after that point, this is something that once debt's been gone for like 2 years, you'd have to hire a bunch of people at the Department of Education to implement it, to get it all reinstated, right? You have to hire a bunch of people literally to find out what people should have and then add all that money back to people's accounts. You're talking about an enormously expensive task. Meanwhile, Congress is not appropriating enough money for Department of Education to really do their job. right? So that would be pretty hard to do if you passed a something reversing what a prior administration did from debt that was years ago. Consider who started the student loan pause. It was President Trump. It wasn't a Democrat. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to win re-election. You might say, well, maybe Trump is unique. Well, probably not. If you look at someone like, well, he's unique in some ways, I suppose. But, you know, if you look at President Bush, what did he do? He passed a massive new spending bill for a new benefit called Medicare Part D. If you look historically at Republican presidents, you know, most of them kind of from a perspective of spending, especially spending on like social programs that benefit like demographically valuable groups, like political swing groups, you could say. Republican presidents like to spend a lot of money too. So if you think about cancellation, why did cancellation get so much pushback? Whereas, you know, the student loan pause and PS Love waiver didn't get as much pushback. So cancellation probably benefits sort of your Gen Z, college educated, younger, more highly Democratic voters, probably disproportionately more. Whereas something like the student loan pause kind of benefited more higher income, higher educated, potentially more likely to be suburban type of voters that are swing voters. And that's a really valuable demographic group. So you don't want to see, if you're a politician, something harming a valuable political swing group. You probably want to compromise and do stuff that doesn't affect them quite as much. So if there was some sort of reinstatement of loans, if that was even possible, I think you would see lawsuits galore at a minimum, right? You would see tons of people suing, saying that this was done improperly. This is a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act. This is a violation of this act. There's all kinds of ways that people would sue to block this if this were to occur. But realistically, I think this is a case of some congresspeople that introduced this bill to try to kind of show President Biden what they could do. Right, they could reinstate this debt. So if he doesn't play ball on winding these programs down, maybe that is where the sort of escalation goes, is discussing really kind of, I think, an empty threat, but a threat of reinstating forgiven debt if he goes too far. Right. So this is, again, posturing. This is something that President Biden would veto if it were to pass. And even if it were to pass later, I don't think that you would actually see this go through, because people put forward very different laws when they know it's actually going to go through versus, you know, when they think and know it's going to fail. So I want to talk briefly about the IDR waiver. There was kind of an alarming change to the IDR waiver page recently, where they put a couple weeks ago that, you know, the IDR waiver would be processed all the way through the end of this year. And then randomly on April 3rd, the Department of Education briefly changed the page to say that FFEL borrowers needed to consolidate by May 1st to be able to get the benefits of the IDR waiver. Out of nowhere, after changing it from that date to the end of the year, then they changed it back, and now they're changing it back to the end of the year. So really just weird, unforced errors by Department of Education, poor implementation, poor communication, blaming things on Congress for not giving them enough money to do their job, but kind of to me just looks like more like gross incompetence more than anything. I think the Department of Education is trying to do their best to get a bunch of stuff rushed through in the hopes that people don't really figure out what they're doing. And once they do it, it'll be too much work to undo it. I think that's really kind of what's going on. And when you try to do stuff that way, where you're trying to kind of like obfuscate what's really going on, you know, a lot of times you probably don't come up with the best procedures, the best communication plan. And you're not really super good at telling people what they qualify for, because you don't want to incentivize a lawsuit or make people aware enough to file a lawsuit against what you're doing to try to block what you're doing. So maybe you could sort of say that some of these mistakes from Department of Education's making is because they really care about borrowers, that they are trying to help borrowers, and they're trying to get around, you know, very litigious opponents of student loan policies that help borrowers. You know, maybe that's what's going on. Or it could just be Department of Ed not being very good at their job. So it could be, or it could be some sort of combination of the two. So IDR waiver, you know, we will jump in probably with an emergency pod as soon as we know more about exactly how that's going to go. Because we do have that emergency for COVID ending about May 11th, and that will probably incentivize some sort of challenges more broadly to President Biden's student loan initiatives. If I was going to sort of summarize what we're looking at for the rest of the next few months, someday randomly the news on the student loan cancellation case in the Supreme Court's going to drop, and then everything else is going to occur after that, depending on what the ruling there is, right? So if you get a affirmative ruling that cancellation can happen, you know, people are going to be celebrating. The pause has to end based off of what the Biden administration said. If the Biden administration basically loses that case, then it's very possible that they decide to try to extend it just to see what happens. And then maybe you've got some lawsuits that shut that down, but maybe it doesn't get shut down before the fall. Couple notes about new repay implementation. So that very well could get pushed to the end of the year or later as well, because we're talking, you know, it's April and we still don't have the final rules on the new repay plan. And you've got to communicate that to student loan servicers for them to be able to implement it, especially because this plan is very complicated. And student loan servicers are going to have to hire a bunch of people to be able to process all the phone calls and customer service requests after literally over 3 years of people not making payments. I think that we might see this new repay plan get pushed later. Now, that's one of the reasons why the Biden administration is probably not going to require anybody to recertify their income before probably January or February of 2024. That's based off of 6 months after the student loan pause ending is the soonest that they will ask people to recertify their income. When will the pause end? Theoretically, sometime in July, August, or September of 2023. Of course, it could get struck down sooner, but probably not. There is a very clear trend that if you want to grow wealth, you really need to focus on, you know, your student loans being an income tax, because they're becoming more and more like that every year. If you are trying to decide how you or a future family member should finance your education, you probably need to be looking more so at federal loans than ever before. And there's other things going on with all this stuff with student loans as well. The real question is, you know, how are they going to take, you know, what are they going to do on cost of education? Will they ever cap loans? Will they ever put a limit on how much people can take out for plus loans? You know, we'll have to see. I think we'll have to have a bigger crisis before people have the real desire to act on this. Final point for today is just, you know, the 1 year anniversary of SLP insurance. If you know that you need to get quotes for disability insurance, something to think about. 12% of all people get a long-term disability at some point in their lives. So 1 in 8, give or take. That's pretty high. Very, very low risk you pass away, but fairly significant risk of getting some sort of long-term disability. And, you know, your degree costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, you want to have at least something to show for that if something were to happen where, you know, you're fine otherwise, but can't quite do procedures in the same way that you could before. So would love for us to be able to help you out if that's something that you need. studentloanplanner.com/DIS. And one of our agents will reach out. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. If you need any help, studentloanplanner.com/book. And hopefully we'll help get some people some really cheap disability insurance quotes. So studentloanplanner.com/DIS for that. Thank you, everyone, and have a great rest of your week.